some fireworks during the break there. I can't imagine Ron Rivera and Scott Turner and Jack Del Rio were too thrilled with the first team offense's first rep in two-minute drill. So they sent him back out there. Ryan Fitzpatrick marches the boys down the field, then takes a bad sack going from about the 20 to the 35 almost from Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat has certainly found his voice.
He found more than his voice. He got some ability, man.
Montez let Fitz know that it was a sack. The referees had to come over and say, yeah, I whistled it dead. He would have had him. Next play, Fitz scrambling around, doing the Fitz. We already saw the Fitz tragic on the first rep,
yep,
where he threw a bad pick to end it. The second one, Fitz scrambles and scrambles, points to the corner for Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas runs to the corner of the end zone, uses full extension on his 6'6 frame, hauls in a touchdown, and everybody just starts going nuts, screaming at one another. That was pretty fun to watch.
It was definitely, because you saw Fitz. Like you said, I'm going to give you a chance. I didn't do well the first time. The second time, I keep swinging. What do they say a good shooter does in basketball?
Shooter shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Fitz is a shooter.
Passes pass.
Well, and one of the best things as they were coming off the field is you have Chase Young and Montez Sweat, who are just two huge dudes. It's hard to describe how big they are. And you have J.D. McKissic, who is certainly strong and an NFL player, but not huge. Not a huge guy.
Yeah, but running backs don't back down from any damn position.
That is also true.
And that's how it goes.
McKissic is just saying, touchdown, touchdown. And Montez and Chase were getting so frustrated and kind of shoving them. And it was in good spirits. Like, they were having fun about it. But it was just so funny because McKissic, I'm guessing, is 5'10", 5'11". And those
that's enough. That's enough size. Nothing wrong with that.
It was. Those are the cool moments you get to see.
But I can tell you, since I've been here, man, this practice, I think the success level, you can start expecting things. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you what they're going to do, but the tempo, the energy that they give is far different than what the hell I saw when I was over here under that other dude.
No downtime. No. You notice that?
They work.
It's focused. It's regimented. One thing I always notice is when they're doing special teams drills, what does everybody else do? Because special teams drills, when you're doing your punt team drill, right? Like, what is everybody else doing? And there used to be a lot of standing. Used to be a lot of chilling out. Steven Montez just a little too far on a pass to Kelvin Harmon down at the goal line. What do we got? Second or third and goal? I can't see over there. Steven Montez, nice young man that they like, but I don't know that accuracy is the top of
his
resume.
It hasn't been today, I guarantee you that.
But even watching punt team, whenever that's going on, they break into position groups, the guys that aren't on the punt the coverage units, and they're working. They're doing drills, even if they're just talking through with the coach. A lot less standing around.
See, I think a lot of that come from when he was with Andy Reid. You were always moving. And the mindset with Andy was, when you go from period to period, no such thing as walking. Jog to it, run to it, whatever. And by getting there, that's when you get your conditioning in.
Impressive touchdown run from number 35, Jarrett Patterson, undrafted rookie out of Buffalo. Keep an eye on him, man. I think he's going to be, I'm calling it now, two things. Logan Thomas will lead this team in touchdown receptions this year. Two, Jarrett Patterson is going to be a preseason fan favorite. I'm calling that. That's my shot. Right now, though, time to talk to Terry McLaurin. Always a pleasure to get to sit down with the captain, Mr. Terry McLaurin. The last thing I wrote about you was that you should run for governor. Have you considered your political prospects after football?
I don't necessarily know what I'll do after football. I think politics is not necessarily my thing, but maybe some form of leadership I could find out here in this world where I can make an impact. But I try to stay out of the political world.
Smart man. I would vote for you on the platform of just your route running ability and leadership. That's all I
appreciate.
I need.
That's that.
All
I need. I should win by a landslide.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly. Seriously. So we talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chase Young. What a off season it's been. How are you? Like, what is your focus going into year three? You've clearly established yourself as one of the better receivers in the NFL, coming off your first 1,000-yard season last year. How do you view the 2021 season?
I view it as a chance to get better. I view it as a chance to prove myself again. I feel like in this league, you got to earn it. not only every single day, but every single game, every single year. And it just doesn't happen. Like, just because I had a successful year last year, my rookie year, doesn't mean this year will be successful. So I came in with a new year mentality, like I do every year, to come in and be the guy yet again to prove that I deserve to be here, be our top receiver, and make noise in the league and be a guy that we could depend on. With a new quarterback, obviously, you know, it's nothing new to me, but my job is to make him as comfortable as possible. And that's the mentality I come in with every single day, try to get on the same page with Fitz, Taylor, Kyle, and just try to make plays. I think this year I want to be a guy who's continue to be consistent, improve on what I did last year, and continue to help stretch the field vertically. I think that could really help our offense. And, you know, obviously, you know, compounding with being a leader, I think that we have a chance to improve on what we did last year as a team.
It's interesting you bring up the verticality, mm-hmm. because you were kind of that home run threat as a rookie.
Yeah.
Last year, your YPC dipped a little bit.
Right.
But you don't need to say this. I think it's because quarterbacks weren't going downfield as much, mm-hmm. and you guys didn't have a lot of targets, right. So you were getting a lot of brackets, and, mm-hmm. and there's way more attention focused on you. Mm-hmm. Do you think with the addition of Curtis Samuel, Adam Humphries, mm-hmm. De'Ami Brown in the draft, right. that things should open up for you?
I think so. I mean, I think the more weapons you have, the better it is for everyone, not just me, but those other guys that you just mentioned. Adding more weapons helps our whole offense because you can't quite key on one guy. You're not necessarily getting as many double teams, those bracketed coverages, that safety on the hash looking at you, because you got to respect the other side of the field. And I think that as an offense, we understand that. The guys that come in understand that, and the guys we have on the roster understand that too. As a group, we got to do better just stretching the field and making those big plays, because it opens up a lot of other things in our offense. So I think that'll help, you know, open up some possible one-on-one chances for me, but also them as well. So I'm really looking forward to continuing to working with these guys, building a great camaraderie, and seeing what it looks like come the season.
What's it like having Curtis here? And sometimes I think it's unfair that you guys get, like, the story has to be that you were, like, college roommates or whatever, but it's someone you've known. You know him as a football player.
For sure.
How excited are you for it?
I'm very excited. I think the number one thing I say all the time is me and Curtis are really good friends. Like, that's my guy ever since we got to Ohio State. When he was playing at Ohio State, I wasn't necessarily playing yet. He was supporting me. When I went off to the NFL and finally got my opportunity, he was supporting me and I supported him. So I think that's where it started. But also just to see the way he's developed since Ohio State as a receiver. A lot of people don't know he started as running back, and that's not the easiest change to become an elite receiver in this NFL. But just off the OTAs, seeing the way he was running routes and things like that, I could tell he's really been getting better. And he has obviously has the dynamic ability with the ball in his hands. But I think the way he comes to work, the way he you know, puts the work in and challenges me as well. I mean, I think that just pushes me and our whole group when you have two guys who have the ability that we do, but we're humble and hard workers and willing to do whatever it is to the team, whether it's blocking, taking the ball, you know, clearing the formations out. So I'm excited to get, you know, a rhythm with him again, and it's kind of cool because we never really got to play together at Ohio State.
Right.
And now we have the ability to play once again, and I think it should be fun for our offense and our team.
Year three. How much better of a player are you now? I know it's a new year mentality, but you've got to know more things now.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot more, honestly. And I think what I do a really good job of is just being honest with myself. Coach Drew and Coach Hoss do a good job in the offseason being honest with what I need to work on, and I attack those things. You know, weaknesses or things that you may not be good at, I see those opportunities to make them strengths. And, you know, whether it's my releases off the line, you know, I've gotten a few compliments from our coaches. They could tell I put the work in. And, you know, you just want to continue to hone in on those little things that you put the work in, and you want them to show up on game day. And so I'm continuing to work against our great corners that we have that are challenging me. And, you know, I just want to continue to make those plays contested down the field and win at the line, because I feel like that'll open up my game so much more, because I feel like I am strong at the top of my routes and the way I get out my breaks. But if I could cut down the time I'm spending at the line and put more stress on the DBs, I think that'll be a great asset for me coming this season.
And then Fitz is going to give you chances.
Right.
I mean, I even saw it in Richmond, no pads.
Yeah.
He's still throwing up 50-50s.
For sure.
You haven't, by and large, gotten those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Just QBs have been a little gun-shy.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are you to have that?
I'm very excited. I'm coming out of college, that was kind of one of my strengths, being able to stretch the ball vertically. And obviously, I want to, you know, continue and build on that. I think it's a little different in the league, but you know, I'm really excited to work with Fitz, and we've seen it so far early in this camp that he's not afraid to give you one-on-one chances, even if the corner back is off, you have a go route, he's going to throw it. And that's all you can ask for as a receiver. And I feel like what I've been preaching to our receivers is we got to continue to build that confidence with him and come down with those balls, those 50-50 balls, those wide open passes that we make, because that gives him confidence. That gives Coach Turner confidence to continue to call him. And that's when your offense is completely opened up. So it's been fun working with Fitz, man. He knows how to get you into the right plays. He's not going to necessarily let you run a route into bad coverage or bad leverage. And he does a good job of really just empowering us, like I've continued to say, to make plays and have fun doing it. I think it's really fun coming out here, getting work with him, a guy who's seen it all and is going to give us chances. So I'm really looking forward to what this season is going to look like for not only me, but for our entire offense and our receivers.
I mean, everybody's looking forward to it. Yeah. There's that element of the unknown.
For sure.
So much fun.
For sure.
I got two fun ones, but one annoying one first. You've already talked about COVID. It's a personal decision. You respect your teammates. You got the shot. Like, cool.
Right.
At this point, it's a football thing now,
of course.
Right? Because you got separate locker rooms. You got guys missing practice time. Has it become an annoyance for you yet?
I don't think it has yet, because it hasn't – I mean, it's affected us, but it hasn't cost us games yet. You know what I mean? And I guess the plus side is we're getting some of it out the way now, but at the same time, we also got to understand that this can affect us during the season, and this can affect our ability to compete and be a full-strength team, which we need everybody to be a part of that. So we do got to keep that in the front of our minds and be conscious of that, and guys just have to take that ownership. If you don't decide to get the vaccine, then you got to make sure you're doing whatever you can to protect yourself and to protect all of us, because we're all in this together, and this could really affect the season that we have ahead. And I think what we did last year was great, but we have so many other goals that we want to build upon, but we can't let this COVID thing get in the way. It's affecting everybody, but you know, with the protocols in place and the vaccines that are out there, we hope that guys will continue to educate themselves and do what's best for not only them, but think of everybody as well.
And just think about, I mean, knock on wood that it doesn't happen, right?
Right.
But if there is a forfeit, guys, that blood, sweat, tears,
of
and
course.
That game check means a lot for maybe the bottom 15 guys on
no doubt.
Roster. It'll be friction.
Yeah, sure. For sure. I mean, I think you got to, like I said, it becomes like, I know it's a personal decision, but you also got to think of other people as well.
Yeah.
And I know that's the balance of this sticky situation that we're in. But you hope it wouldn't have to come to that where guys are losing game checks, because you don't want to be that guy to let down your team. I know I wouldn't want to be that guy. And I know the guys that we have in our locker room don't want to be that guy. So that comes to what I just said, is just taking care of yourself if you don't decide to get the vaccine. But continue to educate yourself, because, you know, this is not – at this time, it doesn't seem like – you know, things are getting a little worse. So we gotta be honest with ourselves. We gotta be honest with our teammates and continue just to encourage them to be educated and take care of themselves, because it can cost us games and wins and money, which nobody wants to have happen.
Certainly. Fun stuff. Golf, fishing, and it seemed like you traveled a decent bit. Did I see some Miami pictures perhaps?
Yeah.
How was the offseason?
It was great. I learned how to golf in March. I broke 100 before I got back to camp, so I'm
nice.
I'm hype about that. It's one of those things that's just mentally straining, but it's fun at the same time, because one minute I shoot one in the woods, I'm like, screw this game. The next minute I put one on the green, I'm like, all right, I may be ready for the tour. So I think just the ability to be able to be outside, enjoy camaraderie with other people, meet great people during the game, and something that's very challenging, a lot different than football, it's been really fun for me. And traveling is just something I like to do to unwind and see the world. I think, you know, the fortunate part that we have with the offseason, we have so much time on our hands. So I do a good job of balancing working out, but also some downtime and seeing something outside of just Ashburn or my hometown, Indianapolis, going to travel. And fishing, that's my thing. It's kind of similar to golf. Like, when you make a good shot or when you catch a good fish, it just keeps you coming back. And, you know what I mean? Being outside and, you know, I got to get down with a friend of mine that I met through Instagram and Lip Ripper in Florida, and we got down and we caught 60 fish. He caught most of them, but he taught me so much about just fishing and the technique about it, and it's just crazy, because once I get, you know, people in my life understand, once I get, you know, ingratiated into something, I'll get fixated. I got to be the best at it. I got to continue to improve. So it's been great to be able to do some things outside of football that keep me balanced, but I'm so excited to be back and ready for this season.
You know, you get that 1,000-yard season under your belt going
right.
into your third year. Probably get some cool opportunities. People are starting to know that name wherever you go.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. I kind of actually like to say incognito a little bit. It's kind of hard here and there, but I appreciate the love that I get from the fans around here. They're so supportive, and a third-round guy coming out of Ohio State to be able to you know, be a part of this team and organization, be a captain so early, I take great pride in that, and, you know, I want to help build something that everybody could be proud of. So, you know, I'm always say hi, but I try to I'm just Terry at the end of the day. You know, I'm just same old person like everybody else. I just happen to play football.
Another big year. There's no more incognito.
No doubt about that. And I think if I can do that, then obviously I think our team is going to continue to improve. And but I don't shy away being the workhorse, and I feel like I can take that. And my body is ready for that journey.
Thank you for the time, man.
Appreciate always you, appreciate JP. It. It's
Thank
always
you,
good.
Always fun.
Thank you, bro.
That's Terry McLaurin sitting down talking with J.P. Finley. And that one thing about that kid, I absolutely love him. I love his attitude, the way that he plays. But we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch here. J.P. Finley, as he does during training camp, works multiple jobs, like back in Living Color. Remember that? What are you working? You have 14 jobs, I think he does. But, yeah, training camp. And Paul Heaney is one of those that's sponsoring us as we come out here to make sure we bring you training camp right here from the facilities over in Ashburn, Washington football team. And just heard an update about the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. And I look forward to watching it because it's that signal that the season is basically in when I get here. And you got the Steelers and the Cowboys, two of the franchises that have been around for a long, long time and they've been doing some great things. But ultimately, as I look at this football team here, I set up and I tell certain Landfill and also JP myself that the tempo is different. And I know a lot of times we always hear those things, but I couldn't wait for them to get in pads. And then I wanted to see what they do. Everybody can do any type of thing when it comes down to running out there and, as I call it, T-shirt and panties. And that's my way of saying it because you're in those little tight shorts and a T-shirt. So I don't expect a lot of physicalness and things of that nature. But once they get out here in pads and they started to hit a people a little bit, as my man Jupe says from up there, and I think Jupe called me from Maryland, always saying that tie-out, you know, and that. We're going to put that tie-out on some people. But I see Chase Young, Montez Sweat running around. I'm watching guys on offense also. They're trying to match that intensity. And Ron has these guys, you know, being a coach, and we talk so much about play calling. We talk so much about motivation. Some coaches yell and they don't get no damn impact. Nobody cares what they say. But it's a coach that comes in and can get connected with you on a different level. And I think he's done that with his team. They respect him. They watch him go through his battle last year. And when they get out here, they're going for it. Young guys, older guys, guys are trying to get better, putting in all the work. And as I look at this team, you know, I tell you a lot of times, I hear people make comments, so I want to come see myself. They're going to have some tough decisions to make this year. When they're looking at certain positions, they're going to have guys they got to let go that probably will go to another team and end up making that team and doing some great things out there. But that's a good problem to have.
What position group do you feel is going to be the most difficult for the coaches to kind of set the final roster for?
To be totally honest with you, you know, I say the most difficult would be receivers, but I know who the first four to five. But I think that six or seven guys you got multiple names that can do it. Steven Sims, a guy who we've seen done some great things, but we also seen him have the muffs and the drops and all those type of things. What if he just comes around? He can be a true asset to your team because he does multiple things. You know, Cam Sims, every time he gets a chance, he balls out. But is he going to be one that be able to jump into the five and six? You know what I'm saying? And then I flip it over to the defense. And we were talking about safe last year, the secondary was kind of a weakness. This year they have multiple guys who can do different things. Kendall Fuller gives you the leeway to be able to use him sometimes in the safety position, sometimes in the cornerback position. As I look at the dude, Benjamin St. Juice, I think that young man can make this team as a cornerback and a safety. He has the body of a safety, but he also plays corner. So if he has that good of feet, why not try to use a guy as long as he is to go and do something? And then when I start looking at the linebacker position, Jamin Davis was sitting right in front of us. The kid can run. He can make plays. He does things over and over again. And he can just make multiple plays. So the great thing for me is that they have these young guys that are coming in who seem to be ready to play and step to the next level. And then when we flip it over, you know, the tight end position, you know, Logan comes in last year, and he makes a lot of plays. Nobody else was doing anything at that position. But now they have multiple guys at that same position who I think can come out and play. And they're all physical guys who should be able to block, because I believe that they need to get better in the running game. The running game has to improve if this offense is going to improve. So we will see how it goes. But the practice to me today was exciting. The level was totally up today. And I hope that continues as we continue, you know, coming out here. We'll be bringing you practice every day, full time. And, well, cool. We got Kendall coming to step down now. What up, my young man?
Not much. How you doing?
Chilling, brother.
Where I'm sitting, right here?
Yeah. Kendall Fuller sitting down here talking to me. And how you think practice went today, Ken?
It was pretty good. I think defensively we could have, you know, just been a little bit more consistent. A couple periods was a little up and down, but, you know, end of the day, good practice, build on tomorrow.
Very good. I sit here and I notice the tempo. You know, you've been in this league a long time. You know, now you won the Super Bowl. What do you feel about how Ron gets the practice and the tempo to go?
Efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to get make everything count. You know, each period he's into the small things, into the details, and you know, he wants us to be efficient, get our work in. And, you know, just got out there competing. It's been fun.
Your defense, they get a lot of talk about the up front, the defensive tackles, the pass rush and things of that nature. But I'm noticing a lot of talent in your position, the cornerback position, and also the safety position now has a ton of guys back there. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that that's starting to come together?
It's coming together good, man. You know, we've just been keeping our head down, keep on working. We want people to keep on praising our D-line. We love it. You know, we want them to enjoy it, keep on working. You know, we all work together. We play good, they play good, and when they play good, we play good. So it's been exciting. The pieces that we have in the back end, so many versatile pieces, so many guys that can make plays that change games. So, you know, we just been gelling together, even just being in the locker room with each other, being in meetings. So it's been fun.
Speaking of the versatility, and Ron talks about that a lot. He talks about position flex. And you've been able to play safety, and sometimes you play corner. Name some other guys you think may be able to have that same level or same type of ability to do that.
I mean, we got a lot of guys. You see Cam Curl last year.
Yeah.
Bringing a guy like Bobby Kane. I was watching Bobby Kane a lot when I came into the league when he was in the slot in Miami. You know, we got guys like Jimmy, Daryl Roberts, safeties that can play free safety, strong safety. So, you know, we got everybody that can play.
When you, I've always asked the receivers about the defensive backs about the receivers. Terry McLaurin, we know what he's capable of. Curtis Samuels has come in and we know he has a different level of ability, but he was a former running back as well. When you look at some of the younger receivers who are here now, who impresses you?
I mean, all of them, man. I just told them all of them had those days where they just impress you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember a day in Richmond where Steve Sims looked real good.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then the next day, Cam Sims will come out and have a real good day. And then AGG will come out and have a good day. And Diami will come out and have a real good day. So it's been fun to watch. And, you know, our job as a DBs is come out there, keep on competing with them, and, you know, build them up to where, you know, they can come out when Sundays come and ball out week in, week out.
Do they come to you and ask you questions now? Because you're not old, but you like that veteran guy.
Yeah,
you've been around
here
for a minute. You understand how to get that level of success.
Yeah, nah, for sure. They definitely come and ask questions. You know, I remember Cam coming to me a lot in Richmond, like, why didn't you go for the go ball, or, you know what I'm saying, just little things like that. So, you know, all of us just, we're competing, but we want each other to get better.
You were with my buddy up there for Andy Reid in Kansas City. Do you see any similarities with Andy, how he runs practice, and with what Ron does?
Yeah, just the efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just what they want you to get out of it. You know, they don't want to sit there and waste your time. They want you to be able to get your reps in. You know, they're real big on the mental reps, the walkthroughs. I think that's the biggest comparison that I can see is, you know, they want you to walkthrough ain't a time just to, you know, just to walk around and just, we're going to mentally act as if we're in the game. And, you know, I think that shows up a lot on Sundays.
Hey, JP was talking about that earlier. He said when you're all doing special teams, he noticed everybody else is doing something. In the past, people would just be standing around. And you're so right about how Ron does it. He wants you to be efficient, wants you to make sure you're always getting something done. But just watching him go through what he did last year, what's the level that you see him, the change in him this year?
I think just for going through something like that, just the enjoyment of just being out here every day. You know, when you go through something like that, you know, you notice all the little things. So I think just him, you know, being excited, just being where his feet is, being where his feet are, and just enjoying every moment. You know, you see him walking around coaching up everybody. And it's fun to have that energy from your coach and, you know, something that we need.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy who's been around this league a long time. Many people have different opinions of him. But what does he bring to this football team?
I mean, like you said, when you've been around so long, you know, it's just you have so much knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, he hit me with something today in 2 minutes that I know most QBs couldn't do. And, you know, it's good to be able to get that from a veteran guy. You know, he's helping everybody, not just the offense, but he helps the defensive guys too. So, you know, he makes us adjust our game, learn, and come back and try to challenge him the next day.
You gotten into some golf lately, man?
That's it.
You playing a lot of it?
I work out in golf. That's about
work out in golf. How good have you gotten? I played with your brother. I forgot where I was with your brother at one time.
Yeah, I'm not with my brother yet. I'm in the 90s.
All right.
I'm a 90s golfer trying to get into those 80s.
I'm asking you this question. What makes you more frustrated? Trying to get the game of golf or giving up a play?
Oh, giving up a play.
Right. But golf can make you frustrated too.
Oh, yeah,
though.
It make you frustrated.
Because do you ever look at it like, damn, this is supposed to come a lot easier to me? I'm an athlete.
It's a simple game. you hit your driver, put your iron on the green, two putt, and it's a simple game, but it's hard. But this is what we do for a living out
there. There you go. You answered the question right. You definitely answered it right. So, man, I appreciate you giving me some time and keep it going, man.
Yeah,
do some big things this year.
Seeing you.
All right, man. Kendall Fuller joining me here on B. Mitch and Finley. And he's going to be doing some very good things. Like I've said, I've loved this young man since he's gotten here. Watch him grow up, do some great things. And I think I'm going to have to take him against JP and Mitch in some golf. I think we will probably slam. JP, me and Kendall are going to play you and Mitch.
I'll take that. Yeah. Giving us strokes, though.
We can give you a couple.
You're giving us strokes. He never wants to give strokes.
Make them better.
Mitch is a 6 handicap, and he won't give us strokes.
Hey, man, I'm going to give him enough to make him have to work hard.
There's rules.
I'm going to give him something.
There's rules to this.
But I'm not going to give him how many he wants.
See you, Kendall. Thank you. I'm a 17. Yeah. I'm not lying.
16.
Oh, my gosh. How was that interview?
Cool, man. Kendall, he's always in the 90s, so I figure he could beat you.
He might, honestly. I've seen a little bit of Kendall's game. We're fairly comparable if I have my
green. He said it's a simple game. You know, you hit your driver, you hit your club to the green, and you two-putt.
It is.
I'm like, if it was that damn easy all the time, I would probably be doing that instead of doing this.
That's true. and don't forget, we got Pete Haley running around here. We have to make a decision, and I say we vote on it as a group. So me, you, Lamphill, we'll get Cody on the vote as well. Are we bringing 20 questions back, or is he still on probation for Orlando Scandrick? We're going to do that next, 106.7 The Fan. Some every day in Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah. He's played outside. He's played nickel. He's played safety. And I think the thing for him, even if we look forward to that game, I'm sure they're not even scared about Kansas City at this point. I'll have Kendall in every position because I want Andy Reid to be guessing too. Because Andy probably will be planning his game plan based off of where Kendall is. But like, damn, why is he in free safety? He's inside now? You know, I would have him guessing as well. But he talks so much about, you know, their room basically having so many people that could do so many different things that they should have games where they're putting guys and moving them around and confusing the hell out of some offenses.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I couldn't help but notice this. So while we're at the Washington football team training camp, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think we saw a very healthy amount of jawing. Montez Sweat is certainly starting to talk more and more. But there were no fistfights. Did you see any fistfights?
No, not yet.
Did you hear about what happened at...
As I say, not yet.
Certainly. I think it helps that it's nice and cool out here today, too.
Yeah.
You hear what happened up in New York? Giants camp?
I heard it. It's a typical thing that happens in training camp normally.
I don't know if you'd call this typical. This is from Ralph Vacchiano at SNY. He says, a full team brawl at Giants camp with quarterback Daniel Jones somehow at the bottom of the pile. Joe Judge is absolutely livid. He's got the players lined up now to run. There's lots of fights, but you don't want the quarterback at the bottom of a pile.
You don't want him at the bottom of the pile, but you know what? They end up in it sometimes because those bastards normally start the fights half the time. To be totally honest with you, they sit up there, they jaw, they throw balls at people, they do dirty stuff, and then when the fight break off, they want to step back, but sometimes people just pull them into it. But Joe Judge is doing what most coaches would do. Yeah, I'm upset, but I also expected it to happen. So I use this as a training correction type situation and also as a conditioning thing.
So he ended up, the team was doing 100-yard goal-line-to-goal-line sprints, gassers. Joe Judge made them run for 10 minutes. Then they got to do push-ups. Then he sent all the coaches away, and it was just Judge and the team.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Ralph Vacchiano. He says, and now practice is mercifully over. Wow, I've never seen Joe Judge that angry. Actually, I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone that angry.
I've seen coaches get to that level, and then they'll give you a bone probably the next day or even that evening. But you have to use it when you can. You know what I mean? They got into fights, and what he's probably letting them understand, we need to have our quarterback. We can't get him hurt. We have all this COVID stuff going on. All you bastards up there piling up on each other, fighting each other. You can hurt your own team. You know, if you do this in a game, they're going to throw a flag on you, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff comes out. But you know what he likes? He likes the fire.
Oh, yeah.
He loves that. And Joe Judge is more of the what? Defensive special teams mindset. There's no way there's not some part of him smiling from ear to ear.
Honestly, I bet the part he doesn't like is that the quarterback's at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. That's why I tell my quarterbacks, if I was a coach, if a fight break off, you run full speed away from it. And you make damn sure you're not starting it. Because if you start it, somebody will get you even in the locker room.
Not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. See, Daniel Jones is that guy who's that athlete who doesn't feel he probably tries his best to make sure his teammate doesn't think he thinks he's any different or this, that, or the other. But you don't want to be in the fights.
All right. So we got a decision to make here with Pete if we're going to bring back 20 questions or not. Tailgate Ted sent in a tweet. He said, free Pete Haley, long live 20 questions. What are you thinking, Mullins?
It sounds to me like the listeners are demanding it, demanding the return.
One guy tweeted.
They don't get no damn demand.
Now, maybe Tailgate Ted gets two votes. We get to decide.
He has two names.
We still don't get demands.
Two votes. That makes sense.
Will Tailgate Ted set up his tailgate for Friday night's practice at FedEx Field?
Of course.
I think he will.
And he'll be riding on this cooler?
I might go eat some of his food.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be there now, but I see flyers with my name on it, and they've been show promoting the hell out of me supposed to be there. So I don't know. I'm supposed to be, but I haven't heard anybody show me no signed contract or no checks or nothing like that.
Well,
I work like that.
I'll be there. You want me to send you pictures?
Hey.
I was sending you pictures from the draft party.
You can do. I didn't want to be at that one. Just saying.
We were at MGM for that. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I was at that party.
I was at the party with you.
Okay, why are you sending me pictures? I'm already there.
I had to go to FedEx and then
oh,
I came to
meet you. Oh, that party, yeah.
The MGM party was fun.
The MGM party was off the chain, but I did not want to be at the 60s party, 80s, whatever it was.
80s party. 80s party.
Football time.
We got another vote. Landfill. Pete Bergen says less Pete is better.
Wow.
And that, you know, Chadwick's Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's Pete on Pete crime.
That's Pete on Pete crime.
Maybe they just, maybe Pete Bergen is jealous of Pete Haley.
Yeah, he wants to be Pete. When we refer to a Pete, he thinks it should be him.
I doubt it, knowing him, but you never know. We'll decide. I think last week might have been a scared straight in Richmond with him.
Let's hope.
We can only hope.
If we get another name like that, I don't care what the fans say.
Up with hope, down with dope.
That was a great commercial.
I mean, those PSAs that we went through are all so bad.
Oh, my Lord. This is your brain, and this is your brain.
Real quick, I need you to make a call, and maybe we'll circle back to this. Out of these four quarterback situation in the league, the Jets have – do you know who's after Zach Wilson? I think Zach Wilson's a thud.
Who's after him?
James Morgan and Mike White.
Who? I guess that's part of the
– with Carson Wentz out, the Colts now, Jake Eason, Brent Hundley, and Sam Ellinger.